Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at SchachterEnergyReport.ca. He's speaking to us from my hometown of Calgary. Welcome back to the show, Joseph.
Good to be with you again, Jim.
Joseph, it's important to let our listeners know that you have a very special offer for them, a free pass and other goodies to go to your conference in October. Can you give us a few details about that?
Yeah, we do. For 2 years, we couldn't do it because of the pandemic, but we did it in 18 and 19, which is to have a day at Mount Royal University in the Roderick Ma Center, where we have I do a kind of a plenary open about what's going on in the oil and gas industry, and talk about the upside that I see over the next during this super cycle. We've had a great run from March of 2020 to just a number of months ago. We're now in a pause period, but I think sometime later this year we're going to take off again. So in October we're going to have 35 companies in the energy service, energy renewable world, being there to give 45 minutes sessions, 30 minutes of the companies to tell you who they are, what they're doing, where they're going, where the upside is, and then there'll be moderated questions. Plus, there'll be breakout sessions where there's booths, and the companies will be at their booths, so people can come over and visit with the companies and chat with them. And we've got large companies like Birchcliff and Vermilion, and then we have smaller companies that are in the helium space and the service space. So people can just go to the website to catch the energy or SchachterEnergyReport.ca in the conference. They can see what's going on there. It's one full day on Saturday, so, people can fly in, drive in, be here for an event and have FaceTime with companies. The real big value here is that FaceTime, because, outside of AGMs, you really don't have a chance to hear companies present what's going on. And even if afterwards, when they have a little bit of visit in the Q&A, you may get a chance to ask one question. Here you have a chance to go over the booth three times and spend quite a bit of time with the management team and find out more and more about the company you own or companies you're interested in. So people can just go there. There's 29 companies that we've signed up already. We'll get the last six in September. A lot of people are on holidays right now. And it's really the only kind of conference of its type available for individual investors to get to know the Canadian energy space.
These free passes you're offering, they're worth a little bit of dough. How much?
Well, the early bird ticket price is $109 each, and then they go to $189 at the end of September. So, two passes there. So that's, as you can see, $238. So it's quite a good value. So people can just, decide if they'd like to come to the conference in person or that's the way to take advantage of the offer.
And so what we'll do is you can get details on how to sign up for these, for the chance to win these free passes at your website, SchachterEnergyReport.ca, and we will announce the winner on our next interview a month from now.
Sounds like a way to go.
Sounds like a great deal. Now, taking a look at what's going on with oil, prices have come down substantially since their peak. Is this decline going to continue, in your view?
Well, we've had a big swing this week, 91 on the high, 92 at the high, and 85 on the low, 85 being the lowest we've seen in a number of months, and that was earlier in the week when China economic data showed that it was slowing down and getting weaker than people had thought. And so people were worried about number two economy in the world, heading into recession. And that got us down to 85. And today, because of things with Russia, cutting off oil supplies this winter to Europe, and also the problem with that, the nuclear power plant, which people think could escalate the war. So there's more war premium coming in. But I think that the economic data is going to be the key going forward. And if we do see Europe's economy get worse, which is we're seeing all the data showing that Germany, especially, which is the juggernaut of Europe, is showing much significant weakens. Consumer confidence at an all-time low, more than 08 and more than, during the pandemic. A lot of the business and other data points are showing that it's worse than it was in 2020 and 2008. So we're looking at, rising interest rates to tame inflation. And, of course, inflation, we saw the UK number, yesterday, 10.1%. For the CPI, and the PPI was 17%. So these are big, big numbers. And there's wage, there's pressure there as well. There's a lot of unions going on strike in the UK, the rails, the ports, the London bus and subway system. So, people are wanting to get, wage increases to offset the inflation. And of course, that's the stuff that the Fed gets very worried about and central banks around the world, Bank of England, Bank of Canada. So we're looking at, pressure from inflation, at the same time as, we're looking at, a very tight labor market. And, when everybody got excited about the U.S. labor number that came out at the beginning of August for July, and it was a big number, but most of it was part-time workers. It was a 70,000 drop in full-time workers, and a lot of the jobs were people taking second and third jobs. We saw something on CNBC, it was 2 weeks ago, where the Uber CEO was there, and, they were talking about the tight labor market, and he was laughing. He said, no. He said, because of the inflation problems and people needing extra money, the number of Uber drivers that are available for Uber Eats and for the Uber riding system were at record highs because people need extra income to survive in these, higher cost inflationary times between shelter, electricity, food, everything is gone up. And people need to increase their incomes, and if it means a second job or whatever, part-time, then people are doing that to get through it. So I think we're going to see a recession. I think that's the inevitable with the pressures that are out there to cool down demand. And I think we're seeing, two quarters already negative GDP in the U.S., 1.6 in the first quarter, 0.9 in Q2. Biden administration is looking for any favorable data point to have a press conference, but they don't have one when it's not favorable data point. But if you have the United States, China and Germany, having economic weakness, that tells you the demand side, demand destruction is going to happen. I think we'll see 4 to 5 million barrels of demand destruction over the next year. So from 100 million down to, 95 million or so, 96 million. And that will then, start building supplies again. And that will bring prices down into the end of this year. But then I think once we see the recession cool down, inflation and supply chains get resolved, the prices of oil in 2023 will be doing better. So we're in a tough time here for the next few months. But after that, I think we're going to see, moderation in inflation, and energy prices will hold up at reasonable levels, even if they're today's price for the next 2 or 3 years. But the inflation pressures are out of the way, and, people are more comfortable with the markets. Again, I think that's when we're going to see, another wonderful period for energy securities. And that's why, our conference is going to be of value to people to get to know the companies that they may want to own.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Joseph, with shaky energy supplies in Europe because of the situation with Russia, Is Canada missing the boat on not looking at Europe as a potential market for our LNG?
Well, we've talked about this in the past, and you know, there's a German delegation coming over that, you know, of course they're going to be writing a lot of checks for anything that can happen. But you really need to see, you know, if it's in Newfoundland or Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, wherever they want to do it on the coast there, that there's infrastructure to bring natural gas to that market. And that means a massive expansion of pipelines from, you know, be it in, be mostly through Quebec, you know, TransCanada or TC Energy would be the one to build it, or, you know, some of the Quebec, you know, utilities would be involved in expanding their pipeline systems. But right now, Quebec is anti-fossil fuel energy because they have power from hydro that they get, of course, from Labrador. So they're not really fans of helping to make this resolution. So whatever the feds say, whatever the provinces say, whatever the companies say on the coast, and Germany says, here's our wallet, if you can't get through the Quebec problem, it's a non-starter.
Is there any way to bring Quebec around, or are they just steadfastly against it, even though Quebecers drive the most SUVs per capita?
Well, you know, again, do you turn off the taps? If you remember in the 1970s, yeah, when Lougheed turned off the taps to Sarnia, if you recall that, brought, you know, when the NEP came in, that kind of woke Ottawa up that, oops, you know, they do have, it's not, we don't have all the trump cards, you know, having pipelines that can be turned off is a trump card. And, you know, that's something I don't think Canada will do, but it's something that I think, you know, if you talk to Albertans, they'd probably be saying, yeah, you know, let them realize what a shortage is, just like Europe is facing, and maybe they'll turn around. But right now they have sufficient hydro, you know, so, and as you say, they're driving whatever kind of vehicle they want, gas mileage, it doesn't matter. You know, that's a basic problem that I don't see clearing itself, unless there's a change in administration in Quebec, or we have a severe recession and they take a different attitude towards it. You know, if it's a cold winter and they don't have enough natural gas in the province, then maybe they'll realize, oops, and a hydro doesn't solve all of it, because, you know, for cooking you may be having a gas burning stove, and if there's no gas for the stove, or you know, or if your home is heated with gas, natural gas, then that's a problem. You know, electricity, if it just comes from the hydro, solves some of the problems, but not all the problems.
I recall last winter Quebec had a propane shortage because a lot of farmers rely on propane tanks to heat their industrial things, dry their agricultural products, and so on.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, as you said, you know, it requires rail to move propane from Alberta to there. So again, if the propane is now being shipped by the West Coast, by Pembina and others, to Asia, there won't be any propane or less propane going to Quebec, and maybe, you know, that might be the way to turn the lights on there. That, hey, this is serious to us as well, and we have to react differently than we have in the past. Either, you know, going from anti-energy fossil fuels, just like Europe's doing. Like, look, Europe is going to be using more coal. They're, you know, Germany announced they're not closing three of their nuclear plants, you know, the Greens have come on board in Germany, because they realize they can't afford to have, you know, people without heat this coming winter.
What kind of condition is the Alberta oil patch in, and is it flexible enough to meet future demand?
Well, you know, right now companies are still trying to clean up their balance sheets, and in many cases from, you know, the problems of 2000, 2001, and the tough times even before that. So that's really the first phase of resolution that is to get your balance sheets in order. But then they're saying shareholders haven't had a return, so they're paying dividends, sometimes extra dividends, normal course issuer bids. So the industry is in repair. There's now starting to be hiring going on again. And, you know, the plays that are important are the Montney, which is natural gas liquids. And remember, we do finally have a go forward on LNG on the West Coast. LNG Canada is coming on in 24, 25. They're going to start needing more natural gas. We know Woodfire, which has got the support now from Enbridge. You've got Cedar LNG. You've got a number of other projects that are in the process of being analyzed. And if there's final investment decisions, FIDs in favor, then we'll see, more projects come on. Right now, Western Canada produces 16, 17 BCF a day. The first project, LNG Canada, the first train is 2 BCF, so a nice increase. But if they make the decision to go to two trains, that's 4 BCF, then you add the others, and we could be talking 6 or 7 BCF by the end of the decade. 6 or 7 on a 16-17 base is a pretty healthy increase. The industry is going to have to respond with drilling and bringing on that production. So there's a lot of runway for that. And on the oil side, there's a lot of pipelines to go south, and also you could do rail going south. So again, depending upon what prices are like, we can get exports to the Gulf Coast. We sure, TMX at some point will come on, even though it'll be way more expensive than anybody thought. That's going to bring some more export capacity to the West Coast. But we really need at some point, to have more capability to ship to Asia, which is the long-term growth market. And so TMX is nice, but we'll need more than that at some point.
Joseph, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Yeah, I'd be watching, like, the EIA data this week was quite fascinating. People got excited, and that's why oil pounced, jumped up, because commercial stocks fell by 7.1 million barrels. But the key thing was that the U.S. has exported 2.89 per day, or 20 million barrels in 1 week. That's why you got that big drawdown in commercial stocks. And also the SPR came down by 3.4 million barrels on the week. So 20 million barrels were sent out of the country. And again, the United States is sending that mostly to Europe to help them to get through, because, oil is cheaper than the natural gas equivalent, which is like three times the price, given the price of electricity and natural gas in Europe. Europe's wanting to buy as much as they can. The problem, of course, is by taking away American, oil from American Strategic Reserve and from American inventories, you're pushing the price up for Americans. And I think there is going to be a backlash at some point that why should the United States be subsidizing rich countries in Europe that should be able to buy it from Saudi Arabia or Nigeria or other countries, and not destock the United States, which is going to cause much higher prices or higher prices for, U.S. consumers. So I think that drawdown from the export numbers, it was a shock to me. I didn't expect that's a record amount of oil being taken out of the United States. And if that continues, that's going to make things very tough for the U.S. during this winter, which means likelihood much higher prices.
Joseph, always a pleasure talking with you. And again, maybe just remind people about your giveaway for your conference in October.
Well, people can just go to the website and see what the conference is all about. As we said, we have 29 out of 35 companies there. It's a full day in Calgary at Mount Royal University. And, we hope people will want to come. And then there's a draw, for a couple tickets, for people as well. So, people can either said, I don't want to take the risk with the draw and buy their tickets and come. And also there's a special offer where, if you buy a quarterly subscription, we include two tickets for it, so that if you look at the value, then 238 is the value of two tickets, and you're paying 249, you can see you're getting quite the value to become a subscriber. Try it for a quarter, and if you don't like it, you can cancel before the renewal, and then there's an automatic renewal thereafter. So you have two option ways. And again, the key thing is you're going to get exposed to a lot of fabulous companies. Go to the website, see the 29 that are signed up already. We're already in discussions with three or four more, but we'll close those and get them on board, and we'll keep people up. Remember, we do that free eye on energy piece that you've known. We update people there on the weekly free piece, eye on energy, of what's going on in the macro side, but also we keep them updated on the conference so they can keep an eye and see the companies that are coming and then make a decision if they want to come.
So you can enter the free draw contest by going to info@schachterenergyreport.ca. Joseph, thanks again.
Oh, always my pleasure, Jim.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you want to ask him a question or any of one of our other guests a question, you can send it to info@howstreet.com and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.